From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Ellen Page hit Hollywood stardom with her role in Juno, where she was nominated for an Academy Award for playing a teenager confronting an unplanned pregnancy. She has starred in Inception, the latest X-Men, Days of Future Past, and many more. And in 2014, Ellen Page stood in front of a big crowd of people and came out as lesbian. Now, she and her friend Ian Daniel are out with a new cable TV series, Gaycation. They've traveled from Japan to Brazil to Jamaica to the United States, investigating LGBT culture. Sometimes it's a party, and sometimes it's pretty scary. It's a good series. This hour On Point, Ellen Page and Ian Daniel on Gaycation. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Do you know this realm? What's your experience of LGBT life abroad compared with that life in the United States? What's your question for Ellen Page, Ian Daniel? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Let me give you just a little taste. This is from the second episode of Gaycation. Ellen and Ian have just arrived on a beach in Rio.
We're arriving in Brazil at the peak of carnival season, one of the most sexually liberated parties on the planet. To explore a country whose relationship with the queer community is complex and often extreme. It's a country with some of the most progressive equality laws in Latin America, but also has the highest LGBTQ murder rate in the world.
Sounds like a party. It's not always fun. Talking here with El Grande. This is a Brazilian who has assassinated gays in Brazil. Ellen talked about an experience of talking to someone who hated people like her so much that he wanted to kill them.
I've never stood in front of someone in my life who would think it's better for the world to have me dead. And there's lots of those people, but I've never stood in front of one of them, and who's killed many people of the minority that you're a part of. It's a crazy experience.
And they're not just looking abroad. Ellen and Ian went to the Iowa State Fair last August. You may remember the headlines of her exchange with Ted Cruz. It wasn't clear she was going to get to talk to him, but finally did over pork chops or whatever they were grilling there. There were several events at the fair trying to find an event where they could get close to Ted Cruz. Here, they interact with a couple at a Cruz rally who's there to explore their presidential options. Ellen and Ian in the midst of the crowd.
So we're going to try and have some form of interaction with him, but we'll see. So sorry. Thank you. Hi.
Are you Ted Cruz fans?
We're just exploring the options.
You made a decision?
No, not yet. No.
Ellen Page did end up having a pretty epic exchange with Ted Cruz over the pork barbecue there in Iowa. It's not just abroad that they're working on Gaycation. And they're with us right now. Joining me from New York is Ellen Page, Academy Award nominated actress, co-host of the new Viceland show, Gaycation. Ellen Page, welcome back, I guess, to On Point. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks so much for having us.
And Ian Daniel, writer, producer, very great friend of Ellen Page and co-host of Gaycation. Ian Daniel, welcome to you as well. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is pretty cool. I haven't been every place that where you're exploring here, but I spent a lot of time in Japan and in Jamaica. And the way you take this into the fabric of these countries, show us the kind of celebration and the different ways of being gay, LGBTQ in these societies, but also the downside. Pretty cool. What's the origin of this, Ellen?
Well, I guess how it all came about was Spike Jones is a dear friend of mine. We've been friends for a long time, and Spike is co-president of Viceland. And I was staying with him briefly in New York, and he basically said, hey, we're launching a network if you have any ideas. And then a day or two later, I was like, I do have an idea. And it's essentially, you know, a travel show, but just focused on LGBTQ cultures around the world. And that's sort of how it all began. And then it started going quickly. And then Spike was really the one who said, you know, I don't think you should go alone. You should go with someone. And that's when Ian's name came up, and I knew he would be perfect for it. And so he met everyone and kind of did a screen test and everything. And then we started to make it, basically.
Off you went. I mean, this was not that long after you had first come out, Ellen, I guess in 2014. Ian, had you been out for a long time already? Was this a new realm to you as it was the public exercise of all this as it was for Ellen or not?
You know, it's just a different scenario, I guess. I was out to my close family and friends, but not, you know, clearly wasn't out in like a public way. And I think there were, you know, there's some people in my family that probably assumed that I was gay, but potentially didn't, you know, have the confirmation. So this show is kind of on some level, an act of coming out. Yes, it's like, Okay, I'm going to just really own and be proud of who I am, and I'm going to take it to the public on some level.
Okay. You're doing that for sure in a big way. I want to get out there with you and learn what you've learned. I mean, I watched a bunch of this, and it's very interesting to watch. But here's a little bit from Rio again, where you and Ellen are on the beach. I guess it's Ipanema, right? Or one of those beautiful, famous-looking beaches with all kinds of beautiful people and bodies out there. And you approach four guys on the beach. They seem like they're hetero, sort of bros to me. I'm not sure. But here's Ian and a little bit of Ellen saying hi and asking them about LGBT culture in Brazil.
Hey, guys, do you mind if we talk to you for a minute? This is my friend Ellen.
Hi.
We hear that Brazil is very open-minded. You can be whatever you want to be. And I also get that feeling when I'm here. But you read about it and you hear that Brazil has one of the highest murder rates of LGBT people in the world. So we're trying to figure out the reality of that. Do you know about that? Is that true?
They don't know. É uma coisa muito cultural ainda. O Brasil ainda.
And then they're responding. These guys in their bathing suits on the beach, like it or not, it's a very cultural thing. Brazil's still evolving, but you guys keep talking about their murder rate, and that's quite true. Ellen, Ian, do people know when you're talking with them? Are you coming as gay and lesbian explorers, or are you just foreigners to them at first?
I guess it can vary, you know? I mean, I think we're, for the most part, people always know what the show is, mm-hmm. what it's about, whether they're people who are a member of the community or a straight ally or someone who perhaps doesn't like us. And then when it is more spontaneous, you know, they might not necessarily know right away, and that's something either we share in the conversation or, of course, they learn afterwards. That's sort of how it works. We don't really approach it like we're like, you know, we're trying to approach it openly, you know, to have an open, mm-hmm. yeah. honest conversation, you know, not hiding any aspect of what we're doing or who we are. Yeah.
How much are you looking at this as a sort of like amateur, with no disrespect, amateur anthropologists, and how much as crusaders or investigative journalists of a kind?
I think here's the thing. I think, you know, for me, it's like ever since I was a kid, I've loved travel shows. And then older with Anthony Bourdain and everything, you know, and I've always learned so much, you know, and it's opened my mind. And it's such an incredible thing because, you know, first and foremost, just traveling unto itself is such a privilege, you know, to be fortunate enough to do that. And, you know, really, I just wanted to have a travel show made by members of the LGBT community solely focused on LGBTQ cultures in each country. And so then, of course, it's about the triumphs and the joys and even the nightlife. But sadly, unfortunately, it also has to be about the discrimination people face and how much people's lives are affected by oppression and how much they struggle. So then that's where that component comes into it. But I feel like we're just human beings going and hopefully creating a platform to, first of all, just have representation for the LGBT community, and then also allow people to have a voice who don't always get the opportunity to share their voice. You know, I think the show is not about us. You know, what makes up the show is all these, you know, incredible people we meet, and then, of course, the people who, you know, aren't so favorable towards the community.
We're going to dive deeper into what you've learned. But Ian, I just wonder about your impression. You've got four episodes in the can now, maybe more, I don't know, that you haven't aired. But at this point, and one of them is the United States. It's only three abroad. And are you thinking, well, you know, we've come a long way. It's not so bad in the U.S. these days as a gay person. Or are you thinking, life is much more flexible and accommodating abroad? Where's your needle sit on that dial at this point, Ian?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. That's something we're reflecting on constantly. You know, when we're traveling, we're thinking, you know, of course, we're focusing on the country we're in, but you can't help but reflect on your own experience in your home. So right now, I think if you're just looking at the four episodes, yes, I think, you know, Ella and I both feel fortunate to be in America and to be able to be talking to you on air right now about mm-hmm. being gay and making a show called Gaycation. I mean, we are very privileged to be doing that. So I've been reflecting on it a lot lately, but I think, yes, on some level, we have a lot of freedoms that, you know, LGBT people in countries like Jamaica and Brazil and Japan just don't have. But, you know, I think we wanted to do the U.S. episode because we also were reflecting on the things and the issues and the problems in our own country. So, you know, we're reflecting a lot. I'm like, oh, well, the, you know, transgender people in our country, specifically transgender women of color, the murder rate is really high and their life expectancy is 35 years. You know, there are so many homeless LGBT youth in our country. And, you know, we have a lot to reflect on the backlash to the marriage equality situation in our country. So, yeah, I don't, you know, it's like, yes, we have a lot of freedom and but we have a long way to go. There are a lot of issues that we need to be focusing on and talking about in our own country.
We're going to come back and get out on the road with Ian Daniel and actress Ellen Page. Their new Viceland cable show is Gaycation. It's really interesting. Sound behind us right here. The last scene of the first episode shows two women joined in a civil union in Japan. Civil unions were recognized in one ward of Japan for the first time last year. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Talking this hour with actress Ellen Page and her friend Ian Daniel about their new Viceland cable show, Gaycation. Sounds like a traveling party, and it is, but it's also a probing exploration into how LGBT people live and are treated around the world. Japan, Brazil, Jamaica, and back in the USA for the episodes that are in the can so far and coming out right now. Ellen Page, of course, famous for her role in Juno, but also Inception, X-Men, Days of Future Past. Just last year, Freeheld. Ian Daniel, great friend of hers, and on the road, they are doing all kinds of exploration. Some of it's fun, some of it's kind of scary. Ellen came out as lesbian in 2014 at the Human Rights Campaign Foundation's Time to Thrive conference. Here's a moment from that speech.
Loving other people starts with loving ourselves and accepting ourselves. And I know many of you have struggled with this. And I draw upon your strength and your support in ways that you will never know. And I am here today because I am gay. And because
you hear the reception right there as Ellen Page made her announcement. Next thing you know, talks to Spike Jones, down with Vice in Brazil at carnival celebrations. She's describing the atmosphere. It's pretty crazy. Wonderful.
I feel slightly discombobulated in the best possible of ways because I think it's going to be crazy. But there's all these like costumes, and then it's also obviously like hypersexual, but there's also like a familial vibe. It's like, how nice would it be if we had something like this?
Hypersexual with a familial vibe. Maybe we're traveling somewhere here. Kristen in Northfield, Michigan, you're on the air with Ellen Page and Ian Daniel. Thanks for calling, Kristen.
Yeah, not a problem.
What do you know?
So I just wanted to make a comment. I was actually in Belo Horizonte, which is a city in Brazil, for 6 months. And I just wanted to say, like, I definitely agree with what they were saying when they were in Rio, because I was about 6 hours south of Rio. And I just wanted to say that I thought it was really interesting because I've had a lot of experience. I have a lot of gay friends here in Michigan. I go to Wayne State in Detroit.
Yeah.
And I would say that, like, the expression for the gays is a lot more open. Like, when I was there, I saw a lot more things that I probably wouldn't see on the streets when I was in Detroit.
Like what?
Like, I just saw a lot of people. There was a lot more transgenders, a lot more expression in the way that they dressed, and they were very much more open about being gay. I would say there's a lot more freedom. But it was, I think that the overall population still is very discriminatory against gays. Like, they're they're very open about it, but there was definitely a lot more discrimination as far as towards the people themselves.
You know, it's so interesting. I'm glad you called, Kristen, because that's kind of exactly where I read Ellen and Ian coming down. And Ellen, Ian, how does that happen? That you can, on the one hand, be kind of flamboyant in the way that we all have seen Carnival style, certainly in Brazil, is it? The other side of it, there's this really tough, I mean, you come face to face with an assassin of gays. How do those coexist in Brazil?
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's like a big part of what the episode is about, of course, and Carnival is such an extraordinary celebration, you know, it really is such a beautiful thing to see, and even that year there was a float itself celebrating, you know, same-sex marriage, and obviously, and it's a great place for transgender dancers, and then we were trying to explore the side of it, of the, you know, the statistics, or talking to people sort of after hours when Carnival was dying down, about their opinions, whether they were a member of the community or not. And it kind of became clear that it didn't necessarily match up with that celebration, you know, one was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's obviously the difficulty and conflict, particularly for those who are the most vulnerable in the country.
I mean, how do you get from those guys on the beach who, I don't know, Ian, they seemed fairly open-minded about things, to your guy called El Grande, who is a former cop who has killed gay people, sometimes as a contract killer. How do you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm clearly no expert. All I know is the days we spent there, 15 days on this journey, and then thinking about it, and it's clearly studying and thinking about it in a deeper way. But I think our first experience with Carnival is, you know, it exists in a bubble on some level, and it does feel like a temporary moment of sexual freedom and expression. But I think outside of that bubble is where the reality strikes. And I think that, you know, you have to look at the culture and society, and I think you could say Brazil has a more macho-centric culture. And I think on some level there's just an anti-feminine bias, and I think that leads to just more bullying and homophobia and violence against women, gays, trans women, trans people. So yeah, I mean, I think that we're just seeing that reflected in the El Grande interview reality of that situation.
I got a little tape here. Ellen asked him, and he's a scary guy. I guess his voice has been changed, and he's got sunglasses, and he's all wrapped up. You can't recognize him. And you ask him, Ellen, if you felt that killing gay people interfered with his duty as a police officer to protect people. Here's his response. I mean, it's scary. He says, I think every pigsty must be cleaned up. And just, you know, they're worse than animals. He goes along in that vein. Pretty darn creepy moment. And then you turn to your colleagues there, Ellen, I guess, Ian, and you must have a production team, and ask whether it's safe to tell him, this killer, that you guys are gay. Here's the tape.
I want to say that I'm gay. Do you think that's safe?
Maybe later.
Christine.
Do you want me to say you too or no?
Yeah.
Okay. We're gay, and I'm wondering if you think it's better for the world for us to be dead.
Ellen Page, is that made for TV drama or real drama there?
Sadly, that's real. Sadly, that is real. So that is a meeting that we didn't really plan before we went to Brazil. You know, when we're in these countries, we work with incredible... I mean, first of all, our whole crew is extraordinary, and that's who I'm talking to in that moment, because if I'm to say that, I'm putting other people at risk, not just myself.
Yep.
But on the ground there, we worked with an incredible producer, and she's a very brave journalist, and she presented that opportunity, and that was all very, very real, and... No, he did not know we were gay, and when I told him, absolutely everything did shift. And, you know, I don't really know what to say other than, unfortunately, no, it's all very much real and exactly what happened.
I mean, I give you guys props for going out and doing it. Not to mention the Ted Cruz interview, which when I first heard about it in the headlines last summer, I didn't realize it was part of a Viceland cable show push, but we'll come to that. That was quite an interesting, colloquium over the pork chops with Ted Cruz there. AIM is calling from Denver, Colorado. AIM, you're on with Ellen Page and Ian Daniel.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
I wanted to ask Ellen specifically, I'm sure, that women face issues with travel internationally in general. And I wondered if you see an overlap with travel for lesbians because of that.
You mean trouble for traveling as an open lesbian, AIM?
Right. I mean, there are already places where women have to be much more careful.
Absolutely,
just as women.
Yeah.
And then added on top of that,
yeah,
being lesbian, where you're already taking the risk as a woman, so maybe you wouldn't be out as a lesbian because
Ellen?
Of that.
Yeah, no, I think what you're saying, unfortunately, is absolutely true, and I think it's completely accurate to say, when you're a woman, you have to be mindful, I'd say pretty much all the time in regards to, what women face, around the world. And then when it comes to traveling as a member of the LGBT community, or in this case specifically a lesbian, it's like, of course you I think the situation is just, you have to be mindful of where you're going, you have to be mindful of, the attitudes in the country, and I guess make the call on how much you choose to, if you're traveling with a partner, express yourself or not or what have you. And it's like, it makes me so sad to have to say that, but, it's, of course, you could find yourself in a really difficult situation.
Were you, in a way, traveling undercover, essentially, a lot of the time because you were with Ian, and if people didn't ask, they might look at you and assume you're a hetero couple?
You know what? Yeah, that's a great point, and that often was the case. People did often think we were a couple or do, we spent a lot of time mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. So, even if we're just riding the subway together, it's, people, or I've been referred to as Mrs. Daniel before. So in that way, I'm not experiencing what it's like to be with my girlfriend in these places. Because it is the two of us, of course.
Having seen what you've seen, would you feel comfortable traveling with your girlfriend in a very, in an openly affectionate way in the three countries so far that we've seen you in? Or would you like mute it?
Good question. I think making the show has probably made me think about all of those things so much more, probably because of the people we've met and the things we've seen, or when I've talked to parents who've lost children to hate crimes. And it's obviously hard to not have your perspective changed. I mean, obviously you feel a sense of not even really knowing what to do with that, because you do come back to your life and you do experience just such incredible freedom and privilege, And so I guess the answer would be, in living in Los Angeles and, having a life I have, which which I'm, it's like I came out to an outpouring of support. A lot of people come out and get kicked out of their homes or hurt or killed, But I do think it is something I am more conscious of. And absolutely in certain places we've been I wouldn't be holding my girlfriend's hand walking down the street. No.
Trevor's calling from Baltimore. Hi, Trevor. You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say thanks to Ian and Ellen for doing the show. It's really a great idea for a show, and it's pretty brave and awesome. I haven't seen it, but I'd really like to check it out. I actually just got back from a vacation with my boyfriend. I was in Mexico City and then Vancouver. And they were two very kind of different experiences, but I was kind of pleasantly surprised in both places about people's reception to us as a couple and being out in public and being abroad.
And what was the difference, Trevor?
I think I was a little bit more nervous being in Latin America because it's a little bit more conservative. I was in Colombia within the summer, and that was also a little bit of a different experience culturally. And I don't think that I was as open there as I would have been here in the United States. But I think I felt a little bit more comfortable openly expressing our relationship in Vancouver than I did in Mexico City. Just, I don't know if it's a cultural thing, but it's an intangible that it's hard to describe.
Ian Daniel, how about you as a gay guy traveling, seeing what you see? I mean, you were traveling with Ellen, so it had that, yeah. It presented that way. But what were you thinking in the back of your mind about how, if you were on your own or if you were a boyfriend from the U.S. or wherever, how that might go down in the places you've visited so far?
Yeah, I think about it a lot. And I think, you know, that's great that your experience is one of feeling accepted and you know, being able to express yourself. That's great. I think the only thing I can say is that I my recommendation is just to be aware and to be open-minded and know about a country before you enter it, right? So it's always like, you know, you have to be safe and to know what's going on in each place beforehand, I think, a little bit. But I think for me, I don't think it would have been safe for me to be walking around with my boyfriend in a lot of the countries we went to and even in parts of the U.S., of course. And I think that, you know, yeah, I think that even in my own neighborhood in Brooklyn, I'm not necessarily still to this day holding my boyfriend's hand walking down the street. Mm. So it's definitely worse and harder in other countries, but it still exists in America as well.
All depends where you are, what's going on. Here's a little bit from Gaycation, where you and Ellen Page are in Japan. You're talking with a couple of gay civil rights lawyers there. This is a couple, Masafumi Yoshida and Kazuyuki Minami, and asking them about what it's like to be openly gay in Japanese society.
Since you guys are an open gay couple, can you talk about what that's like to be open?
So do you feel like you always have to live your life hiding to a certain degree? Like, are you physical in public? Will you hold hands in public, or...?
And there comes the answer. We don't hold hands in public. We can't do it, but I don't know why. I mean, he said that as lawyers, they're rarely attacked face-to-face because they're openly gay. But it's interesting. This is so Japanese. I lived in Tokyo for 5 years, Ellen and Ian, and he said that they were sometimes openly asked not to disturb the harmony of things, Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I think that was sort of the... You know, as you just said, the sort of vibe there, I suppose. Yeah. You know, it was interesting because we met, you know, when we talked to a lot of young people, it just really seemed like there was kind of no issue whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And things do seem like they are, you know, they are shifting in Japan. And you do kind of feel like, wow, in 10, 20 years, this is going to be really, you kind of feel like potentially it's going to be really different, honestly, and in a very, very progressive way, because there's no real religious obstacle, and it does seem to relate more to conformity and, you know, not wanting to shame your family and that kind of aspect of things. So, you know, probably similar to the things you experience living there and you know, and look, I love Japan. Japan is one of my favorite places.
Me too.
I feel so fortunate to have been there, you know, multiple times. And, but yes, the LGBT people in that country, from what we learned, do seem to live in a sort of almost like a don't ask, don't tell sort of space.
You're Canadian. You live in LA. If you had to choose one of these three, Jamaica or Brazil or Japan, in which to be a lesbian person living, which would you choose, Ellen?
Oh, my Lord. I hear the music chiming in. Give me a moment to think about it.
You think about it over the break. We'll come back and ask you. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
This On Point podcast is supported by Squarespace. If you have a passion that you obsess over, if it keeps you up at night, if you live for it, you should show it off. With easy-to-use tools and templates, Squarespace helps you showcase every detail of what drives you. Because if it's worth the effort, it's worth showing to the world. Start your free trial today. Visit squarespace.com/onpoint. That's squarespace.com/onpoint. Squarespace.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with actress Ellen Page and Ian Daniel about their new Viceland cable show, Gaycation, traveling around the world, looking at the LGBTQ, if you like, lifestyle, how it works, when it doesn't work. They've been so far in Japan and Brazil and Jamaica, some rough moments there as well, and in the USA. Interesting moment in Japan, talked with a guy they call Mr. X, talked with Ellen and Ian on the condition of complete anonymity, and he describes his voice has changed, you'll hear. He describes his quote-unquote friendship marriage. That's a marriage to a lesbian woman that helps them each maintain their secret, the secret of their real sexuality. Oh, yeah. He's saying, of course, it would be my dream to be in a same-sex marriage, and I know this is very Japanese of me, he says, but this body doesn't just belong to me. My actions have consequences. Even if the world changes drastically, I'll probably still choose my friendship marriage. I found that really deeply interesting in human terms and touching in a way. I mean, Ellen, he doesn't want to disturb the harmony, even though he understands who he is himself quite well.
Yeah, you know, and I think that was a tough interview because I felt, it did break my heart. It's like you want this person to be able to live their life and get to be in a relationship that they're out and in the open and could have children or whatever, or get married someday or what have you, you know, if that becomes the reality there. And I liked how he sort of honestly spoke about, hey, this is the situation in Japan and you know, there aren't really, you know, there's no protection for LGBT people, you know, no anti-discrimination laws, and essentially saying, like, this is an option for people, you know, this is an option that people can have. But of course, ultimately, it really does sort of, it just breaks your heart, really.
You didn't exactly stick with the old Star Trek rule of not getting involved. There's a moment where there's a young Japanese guy he's coming out to his mother. And this is a kind of an unusual thing, but there's a company that rents out friends or family members to help people in social situations. And I guess what happened to him? They rented you guys to be present when he was coming out to his own mother? Is that what happened?
Well, essentially, what happened was while we were there, we were going to do a piece on Family Romance, which is the name of that company, which rents out the family members, and how they have now been getting a lot of LGBTQ clients for a lot of different reasons. And sort of at first, this young man was hiring this friend to basically come over and almost practice coming out or talk about coming out. Yeah. And that might have even been the day before. And we were told, oh, he actually decided to come out to his mother and he wants us to be there to film it. And sort of kind of took us a moment. Of course, we were having a conversation about it, about what that meant. Does he really want us there? You know, what does that mean for the mother? But we decided to do it. And I mean, the mother knew people were there and media friends. And really, we were just there to offer support, you know, because even in a moment that you saw at a certain point when the mother leaves and we're sitting there and we were sitting there in silence for quite a while. And of course, I was feeling like we need to get out of here. Like we need to give these people space. We need to give this family space and an opportunity to talk without us hovering over them. But it was really important to him for us to be there. So the fact that we got to offer support in any way whatsoever, I think just made us feel really kind of grateful and honored, you know. Here's just to be witness to that moment.
Just a snippet of that here where this young Japanese man tells his mother he's gay with Ellen and Ian right there.
男の人にちょっと興味を持ってる自分に気づいて 実は今も年下の男の人とお付き合いしてます。
Says, I found myself interested in men. Actually, right now, I'm in a relationship with a younger man.
ちょっとごめん。ちょっとごめんね。いや、ダメだ。
And the mother saying, I'm sorry. I can't do this. It's quite a moment. Corey in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You're on with Ellen Page and Ian Daniel.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, so I'm a lesbian. I live with my girlfriend in Tulsa.
Yeah.
And what I really like about the show is sort of the exposure of a like spectrum of acceptance that's still going on around the world. I've only seen the episode in Japan, but I thought it was really interesting how you talked about how straight men there can cross-dress, and that's considered okay or sort of normal. But being out as gay is far less common and taboo. And I think it's important that you're touching on this because there's still really a spectrum of acceptance here in the United States. You know, I feel comfortable walking around holding my girlfriend's hand and being out, but there's still job discrimination. There's this religious rhetoric that's very anti-gay. There's a lack of representation in the media. So what I really like about the show is that it's still exposing these issues, talking about what it's like to be gay on the world stage, but also the issues that we still have in America. I think especially after the Supreme Court decision, some people sort of forget or they don't realize that there's still a lot we have to fight for here.
We'll listen to some of that Ted Cruz interaction. That was very interesting. But I appreciate very much your call from Tulsa, Corey. And I want to get one more, if I may. Miami Beach, Inocencio, you're on the air. Thanks for calling, Inocencio.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call. And specifically, thank you as the host for covering this issue of, you know, the LGBT community here and abroad.
Sure.
And just real quick, thank you to Ellen Page and Ian for your show. I think it's really awesome. I just wanted to speak to the apparent irony of especially macho cultures like Brazil, where they're free to be quote-unquote flamboyant. And I think that's because, especially macho cultures, because I can speak from my own personal experience. I'm half Middle Eastern, and then living in South Florida and Miami, I have exposure to macho, you know, quote-unquote macho-type cultures. And I think that, well, I contend, first of all, that homophobia is genetic. I think it's always going to be a problem. But I think the macho cultures are more comfortable with caricatures of gays, you know, especially feminized type images of gays, because they can laugh at it, they can, you know, they can joke about it, they think it's funny and it's fun to watch. But then if they want, they're entitled to lash out violently. I think that explains the apparent irony of macho cultures being apparent, you know, seemingly accepting of gays, but it's because they're more comfortable with the caricature, especially of a gay male, because it's still a straight man's world.
Inocencio, may I ask you? You said you're from the Middle East.
No, I'm half Middle Eastern.
Half Middle Eastern. I don't know if you've spent time there. Could you see this show going? I mean, we see pretty tough stuff out of Saudi Arabia and other Middle Eastern countries. Could you see Ellen and Ian taking their cameras and their gaycation show into, I don't know, you name it, anywhere in the Middle East?
Saudi Arabia. It's, you know, I think it's on the books. It's a law that homosexuality is punishable by death. I mean, I think it'd be interesting if they go there, but I wouldn't want them to because, you know, I'd be afraid for their lives. But yeah, just from my own personal experience, from I'm half Assyrian. Assyrian people are from the Middle East.
Yep.
We don't have our own country yet, but just you know, from my direct experience with my Assyrian community, and then also living in Miami with the Latin culture, which I love. But I sort of understand the irony because of the apparent acceptance of gays, but that's an acceptance of the caricature, of the parody of the gay,
yeah,
that they can laugh about,
yeah,
but then they can feel free to. It's all a big funny joke, and they feel free to lash out violently. And what's more threatening to a macho culture, especially, but still the world at large, is more. In the gay community, we call it straight acting. That's more threatening.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you can't caricature it so easily.
The masculine and gay is like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like mind blowing.
Yeah.
You know? So it's
in a sense, let me take it to Ellen and Ian. I really appreciate your call. I mean, I wonder how you two respond to that first, the observation. In a sense, just says homophobia is genetic. I wonder about that. I mean, I think back to how homophobia in the United States, you know, some decades ago compared to now, seems much diminished to me. Not gone, but much diminished. And then his sense of macho culture is in the caricature.
Well, yeah, no, I don't think it's genetic, because of the amount of progress we have seen, you know. I mean, I get to live in a city like Los Angeles that I'm very fortunate to live very freely with my girlfriend, hold hands, kiss on the street, what have you. But, you know, not that long ago it was illegal, and someone like Ian could have been in a bar, and if an undercover cop flirted with him and he responded to that flirtation, he could have been, you know, beaten and thrown in jail, and that was just the reality for people. And it is kind of unfortunate that I feel we don't learn more about LGBTQ history. I even feel like now I'm just trying to devour it and, like, catch up. It's like, why wasn't I taught this, you know? Mm-hmm. Because it is something to reflect on, particularly in regards to certain transphobic, homophobic, biphobic views of, you know, that kind of conversation of, oh, well, there didn't used to be, you know, gay or bi or trans people, but now all of a sudden there are. It's like, no, that's not the case. It's like, this is what the situation used to be.
Yeah.
And people didn't have the option, you know, because they're, of course, I mean, let's be real. We had an extraordinary out and incredible activists, of course. But no, I mean, I just think people grow up in environments where there's a mentality. And sadly, you know, they become a symptom of a core issue, which is the fact that we still do live in a transphobic, homophobic, you know, biphobic society.
Here's an interesting moment in Jamaica where you and Ian meet with Beanie Man. This is an influential dancehall musician there. He's sometimes criticized for writing homophobic lyrics. He's talking with you guys, and he gets defensive, saying that you are being judgmental. Here's some of his exchange with you, Ellen.
We come to a place, and we meet gay people, and they're suffering greatly. They're suffering violence, depression, shame.
No, I'm just telling you that. Now, stop it, man. What kind of pressure you're in? You're there in New Kingston. You walk up and down, and you do this. I do your thing. Nobody no touch you. Nobody no look at you. No violent attack. Come on now.
I know, but we heard lots of stories.
No, my lie.
You know, getting...
It's lie. Lie. Lies. Lies.
That's fine. I don't think it's a lie, but...
Seriously, may I tell you, this is what you need to tell them now. Gay people, them of Jamaica, need to respect Jamaica.
Respect Jamaica. Lies, 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 he's saying. How was Jamaica compared to your other destinations in terms of acceptance or fear, threat?
Yeah, our experience was that it was not accepting of LGBT people. And I think in that interview, it's interesting because Beanie Man does go on to say that he would not recommend if his daughter were a lesbian to be walking down the street holding hands. So, you know, there are contradictions in that interview. So it's just it's in the air, right? But what we faced in Jamaica and the homeless youth that we met and just LGBT people in general, there were a lot of people sort of like living indoors, afraid to leave their homes on a day-to-day basis. They work indoors. They take cabs around because they just are fearful of being harmed by just walking down the street. And then you meet with the homeless youth who at once lived in a gully, which is like a sewer there, and now live in a lot of land. They were kicked out of that area and now live in a lot of land where they're sort of living under tarps. And they're just sort of an open wound for violence, not only within the place they live, which there's no roof or real protection, and then, you know, they have to walk everywhere. And our experience there was that they had acid thrown on them. They had, you know, one person we talked to still had the bullet in her leg from being shot 2 days before we were there. So, I mean, it is a harsh reality. And it was definitely difficult to witness that.
And then I just want to hear a little bit of that moment. We all heard about it last summer when Ellen sought out Ted Cruz at the Iowa State Fair. This is last August. We've got a video up, the whole thing at our website. You should check it out, onpointradio.org. But it was an amazing back and forth. Went on for 5-6 minutes over the pork chops grilling there. And he's got the big red apron on. And you ask him, Ellen, about using religious liberty as a defense for discriminating against LGBT people. Here's some of the back and forth.
In a lot of states, LGBT people can be fired for just being gay or for just being trans. That's totally legal. I mean, how do you feel about that? That just doesn't sound very American to me.
Well, we're saying
Bible-believing Christians being persecuted. So, for example,
one of the couples... discriminating against LGBT people.
No, for living according to their faith. So, for example...
Yeah, but you, that people would have used that argument in segregation era.
Ellen, you're tough. Where did you get that? I mean, you, what do you want to moderate a presidential debate next? You're tough. No. You're tough. Props.
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean,
you hung
in
there for 6 minutes with Ted Cruz, debating champion, nose to nose over the pork chops. I, as a journalist, I thought it was pretty good.
Well, that's nice of you to say. You know, I think, look, to me, it was like our one opportunity to talk to a GOP candidate for president, let alone Ted Cruz. You know, essentially we just jumped at the opportunity. And I will say how incredible that we live in a country where that is possible.
Yes.
And that I can, you know, say, hello, Senator, may I ask you a question? And
yep.
He says yes, and he is willing to have that dialogue with me when we are surrounded by so many cameras, you know. I mean,
and his people, his supporters, who may not like your line of questioning, but you walk away just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do, you know, that is something that I, you know, have reflected on, and you can't help but obviously feel grateful for that. But, you know, sadly, at every point of the way, Ted Cruz is someone who, you know, hasn't supported equality. You know, that's unfortunate. And one thing I hope about the show is a lot of this political rhetoric that we're hearing, particularly towards the, you know, LGBT community, like in regards to our show, is I hope our show can really demonstrate the struggles that people face. And I think a lot of the times people just don't, they just don't know, you know, they don't know. And it just sounds like this soundbite, you know, and people forget about it or what have you. And the reality is that this rhetoric really affects people's lives in a really bad way. And if you're perpetuating discrimination or hate, it's not okay.
Gaycation is the Viceland cable show. Sounds fun, and there is a lot of fun in here. I have to remind our listeners, but it gets serious too in the United States and abroad. Are there more destinations coming?
Yes.
Where?
Yes.
Where? Can you tell us?
Not quite yet.
All right. We'll stay tuned. Yeah. Ian Daniel and Ellen Page are co-hosts of the show, and it is quite a show. Ellen, Ian, thank you so much for being with us today. Terrific to have you here at On Point.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having us.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. Thanks for all your comments and calls. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.